Welcome to Below the Waist. I'm your host, Dino Corvino. Below the Waist is your bi-weekly podcast that focuses on reproductive health care, policy, education, and all the news that surrounds it. This week's podcast focuses on the case of Candace Rich in Kentucky, a woman who had to go over the state line just to have her child delivered. This was a case of hospitals merging in Kentucky and services not being offered. In this week's podcast, we talked to Derek Selznick of the ACLU of Kentucky, as well as Lois Utley, the director of Merger Watch. So I'm here today with Derek Selznick of the ACLU of Kentucky. Derek, we wanted to talk today about hospitals and specifically the Candace Rich case, which the ACLU is involved in. Yes. Could you tell us a little bit about the Candace Rich case specifically?
Well, we've been actually monitoring the situation for quite some time before the two hospitals merged. But what really kind of stuck out to us and what the reason we filed a complaint was a young woman named Miss Rich went to St. Luke's during her pregnancy, and she relied on a combination of both Medicaid and private insurance. Now, she went prior to the merger. She began her prenatal care at St. Luke's prior to the merger. Well, she made it quite clear that if she had a C-section, she wanted a tubal ligation. And she was always told that that was going to be okay. They were going to be able to cover this. Then November rolls around during her prenatal care, and she's told, well, it will be a problem, but we'll be able to find a doctor to do it. It's going to be okay, no problem. Well, fast forward to February. February, she goes into labor. She's 2 days past due, and it's determined she's going to have a C-section. She is told she cannot have it at St. Luke's. At the 11th hour, her and her mother have to drive to Cincinnati across the state line to find a doctor that will do the birth, the cesarean section, and a tubal ligation, postpartum tubal ligation. Needless to say, she also had to then pay several hundred dollars out of pocket. And if her mother hadn't have been there with a credit card, she would not have been able to receive the services, even though she's 2 days past her due date. So that was really the compelling piece for us to file a complaint with the state.
So where is the complaint filed?
So the complaint is filed with the Cabinet of Health and Family Services. The Cabinet of Health and Family Services oversees what's called a Certificate of Need. A certificate of need is needed whenever a healthcare facility either drastically reduces services or wants to expand their services. So St. Luke's filed a certificate of need with the Cabinet of Health and Family Services. This certificate of need served a dual purpose. Part of it was to terminate reproductive health services, including tubal ligations, vasectomies, IUD insertions, depo shots, and then to replace these services with an ambulatory surgical center or an ASC. So it served two purposes, one to get rid of the services, but also to expand them. Now, this certificate of need was approved in August 2008, and included in that certificate of need was a timeline for completion of this ambulatory surgical center to replace the terminated services or the services that would be terminated. That was supposed to open in March of 2009. To date, nothing has been done. They keep asking the state for extensions, but at the moment, absolutely nothing has been done. So what we did was we filed what's a complaint with the Cabinet of Health and Family Services, which calls for what's called a show cause hearing, which allows both sides, both the Cabinet of Health and Family Services, St. Luke's, and people in the community to weigh in on what's going on. That's all we're asking for, is just a chance for St. Luke's to explain itself, why it hasn't built the center to date, and then for residents of Northern Kentucky to explain how it's impacted their lives.
So let's talk a little bit about Northern Kentucky, because we have listeners from across the planet, the world, so we should talk a little bit about that so it's more specific. Can you tell us a little bit about the population and about the region that we're speaking about?
Absolutely. So Northern Kentucky is a mix of suburban and rural. It's kind of a meeting ground for those places. Cincinnati, a quite large city, is just across the river, which has several hospitals and all those wonderful things. But a lot of people work and live in northern Kentucky, and it's, you know, kind of becoming a suburban sprawl area, and, you know, the natural conflicts that come up between suburban and rural. But one of the most important things to think about is in the healthcare of the region. Prior to the merger of St. Elizabeth and St. Luke's, there were these two hospitals in northern Kentucky. They actually account for, I think, about four hospitals across the region. Well, now they're all under the auspices of St. Elizabeth, which is a Catholic institution. And so now people only have one choice of where to go in this entire region. And that's one of the reasons we filed this complaint, was because when St. Luke filed their certificate of need, they made it very clear that if this ambulatory surgical center is not allowed to open, that it's a major hit to the women of northern Kentucky and their ability to access health care in their home state. And so, you know, to see that there is no improvement or no progress made, you know, over a year later, after this has been approved, it's kind of appalling.
I would think so. So there are very few other healthcare options for women in this region.
Absolutely. They now, to get those services, including infertility treatments, vasectomies, they now have to go into Cincinnati and across the river.
So they have to cross a state line.
They either have to cross the state line or they have to drive 90 miles to Lexington, Kentucky. But either way, it's not pretty. And I don't know about you, Dino, but I know if I just had a vasectomy, I don't want to drive 90 miles back home.
Yeah, no, I don't really want to either, but thanks for bringing up that thought. Wow. I don't really want to drive anywhere after I've had a vasectomy, I assume. But so what do you want the outcome of this to be?
Ultimately, what we want is the show cause hearing to let residents have a time to weigh in. But ultimately what the goal is for St. Luke's, and which is now St. Elizabeth's, is to open up this ambulatory surgical center and also to think creatively about how to serve the needs of their population. And, you know, this is not a kind of a winner-take-all where we're pitting, you know, religious institutional beliefs against patients' rights. It's how can those two work together to ensure the best quality of care for their patients.
Great. That's the best outcome always, finding that sort of common ground where patients are served. So do you have a date for a show cause hearing yet?
We have not heard anything back from the Cabinet of Health and Family Services. So we're going to continue to plug away and see if we can get one.
Is that normal that you haven't heard anything?
I don't know if it's normal. This is an unusual situation, and usually when a hospital applies for a certificate of need, the application itself costs $25,000, to say nothing of the legal fees involved. So usually when that amount of money has been spent, whatever expansion that the hospital or the medical agency wants usually goes right away.
So has the hospital, in this case, you said it's St. Elizabeth's?
Yes, it was St. Luke's and is now St. Elizabeth's.
The overriding organization is St. Elizabeth's.
Yes, the acquiring organization.
Have they given a reason? Have they been asked publicly? Have they gone on the record as to why they don't have an ambulatory surgery center yet?
They have made no public statements about this. They said they have said in reports to the cabinet that they are still interested in opening this, but at this time they can't. And in newspapers, they are looking into it.
So have you seen any activity in regards to the creation of the new ambulatory surgery center, or do you believe that their claim that they're going to build one is honest?
Well, I can't speak to their intentions or their honesty, but I can tell you everything that we have seen coming from everything that they have submitted to the Cabinet of Health and Family Services. What it says is they have made absolutely no progress towards building an ambulatory surgery center. And this is absolutely amazing, especially considering when their certificate of need was approved by the Cabinet of Health and Family Services, they laid out a very strict timeline. And according to their timeline, this ambulatory surgical center should have been built this past March.
And has any activity happened with that?
No, they continually ask the Cabinet of Health and Family Services for more time. They say it is not a good time to open this, which, once again, I just find kind of astounding, especially since when they submitted their certificate of need, which is not a cheap process. The application itself cost $25,000, plus all of the fees associated with getting all of this material together. You know, you would think they, once they put their plan out there, that they would go ahead and go through with it. When they submitted their application to the state, there was a complete timeline for this, which should have started, the day after, basically, they received the approval for their certificate of need, and yet to date, nothing has been done.
So during this time, their women haven't had an option for their reproductive services.
No, it's men too. They no longer offer vasectomies in the area. Right now, what women in Northern Kentucky have to do is they either have to cross the river and go into Cincinnati or drive 90 miles to Lexington to have these services done. Regardless, their lack of choice for healthcare in the reproductive area is incredibly diminished, if not outright gone.
Well, then what do we want, or what does the ACLU want to see as an outcome?
Ultimately, what we'd like to see is we'd like the Cabinet of Health and Family Services to hold what's called a show cause hearing. And basically what it asks is it says that St. Luke's, now St. Elizabeth's, would present their case why they haven't built this ambulatory surgical center and replace these services. But it also does something else. It gives a time for community members and organizations to weigh in. So that means people like Ms. Rich, our client, have a chance to weigh in and have their voices heard for the state, and then let the state ultimately decide. And even if St. Luke's opens up this ambulatory surgical center, that still does not replace all of the services they had before. Currently, if a woman has a cesarean section in those hospitals, she would still have to either have a second procedure to have a tubal ligation or go out of state or, once again, drive 90 miles.
That's an intense set of circumstances, Derek. So I want to thank you for your time. If people wanted to get more information about the Kentucky case, how could they do that?
The easiest way to do that is probably to go to our website, which is www.aclu-ky.org. But for those of your listeners that are in the state of Kentucky, what I would say is call Governor Beshear and call your legislator. Let them know that you don't think this is right. Put pressure on the governor to hold the show cause hearing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time, Derek.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was Derek Selznick of the ACLU Kentucky. Up next, Lois Utley of Merger Watch talks about the growing trend of hospitals merging and services being lost for our communities. So I'm here today with Lois Utley of Merger Watch. She's the director there. Lois, we just talked to Derek Selznick of the ACLU of Kentucky about the Candace Rich case involving the merging of two hospitals in Northern Kentucky. That's one of the issues that Merger Watch focuses on. And I was wondering if you could tell me, is this a trend in America, the merging of hospitals?
Yes, absolutely it is, Dino. Since about the mid-1990s, community hospitals, these are the small independent hospitals that you see in many towns and small cities across the country, have been finding themselves kind of out on their own when it comes to the health insurance system. They find that big insurance companies and managed care companies are just pressuring them way beyond their ability to reply to give them discounts. And so what these small hospitals have done is to merge, thereby forming a united front against the insurance companies. there are other reasons, too, why hospitals are merging. They want to do it to save money by, say, combining two administrative offices into one, or maybe eliminating, if they have two emergency rooms in the same town, cutting it down to one. There are ways that they can save money. And so it's been an ongoing trend since the mid-1990s. This last couple of years, particularly since the recession began in the fall of 2008, we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of these mergers happening because hospitals, just like families, are facing financial difficulties. So their idea of what to do is to merge together.
So does that happen in the Catholic versus non-Catholic churches as well?
Absolutely. Until the mid-1990s, Catholic hospitals and those that were not Catholic, such as secular hospitals or hospitals founded by other faiths, like Jewish groups, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, usually did not try to combine their hospitals because they have different missions and different values that go into their way of delivering health care. But the economic pressures facing all these hospitals have caused them to rethink that. And so we've recently seen a number of cases in which Catholic and non-Catholic hospitals have merged. When that happens, the Catholic hospital executives often, I guess I should say always, try to insist that the other hospital adopt Catholic doctrine to govern the services provided. And when that happens, the hospital that previously was not Catholic is forced to ban a number of services that contradict Catholic doctrine. We'd start with the most obvious that most people would think of, which is abortion services. But there are many other services that are affected as well. Contraception is not allowed. Sterilizations are not allowed. So that's both tubal ligations for women and vasectomies for men. Sometimes emergency contraception for rape victims is banned or restricted in some way. Safer sex counseling and the distribution of condoms is also banned because the use of condoms is seen as interfering with the natural reproductive act. And of a big surprise to many people is the fact that infertility services are also prohibited. So hospitals operating under Catholic doctrine may not provide artificial insemination or in vitro fertilization. People might be tempted to think that that would be encouraged at Catholic hospitals as a way to encourage the birth of babies. But again, this is viewed as interfering with the natural reproductive act.
Okay, so does this mean that services are harder to come by in these areas where Do women patients have less access to these services than when hospitals merge?
Yes. In the case of Northern Kentucky, a Catholic and a non-Catholic hospital merged, and it was presented to the state as something that in a plan that allowed for the creation of a separate women's health center, which would have provided continuing access to these services. That is often a solution that we at Merger Watch recommend in these Catholic, non-Catholic mergers. And it would have worked out fine in Northern Kentucky, except that the hospitals reneged on their promise. And so they merged and banned the services at the non-Catholic hospital, but never came through with the promised women's health center.
Wow. So they made a promise that they were going to build a third location or a separate location and then just simply have not?
They simply did not do it. They filed a application with the state. It's called a Certificate of Need or CON application for permission to construct this third entity, the Women's Health Center. It would have been separately incorporated. The reason that you would do that is to keep the finances and administration of it separate from the merged entity, which has Catholic involvement. So you are distancing these women's health services and the funding connected with them from the Catholic-affiliated hospital. That's how you get around the restrictions that Catholic healthcare imposes. They asked for permission to build it. They got permission from the state. They promised they were going to do it. Then they went ahead and merged and never came through with the Women's Health Center that they had promised. So what we have been working on with the folks in Kentucky, including Derek and the ACLU, is trying to pressure the state to make these hospitals fulfill their promise and build that Women's Health Center.
If someone in Kentucky wanted to help you get the surgical center built or make the hospital follow their request, how could we, where would we point them to go?
Well, the first place they should go is the ACLU of Kentucky, and I'm sure you can provide that information for your listeners as to how to get a hold of them. The object of the advocacy would be the state, and in particular the governor's office, asking that the state take action necessary to hold these hospitals to their promises. They said they would do it. Their application to build the Women's Health Center set forth in great detail the importance of maintaining these services and explained how much women needed them in northern Kentucky. And yet they went ahead and merged and eliminated those services without giving women an option of what to do.
So to broaden this out a little bit, how do mergers like this impact healthcare in America?
Well, if communities do not learn about these mergers in advance and get involved in advocacy to protect access to reproductive health services, entire communities can lose access to vital reproductive health care. So we highly recommend that local people keep an eye on their hospitals, follow the coverage of activities at the hospitals in your local newspapers and on the radio. And if you begin to hear anything about difficult financial conditions at your hospitals, the idea that maybe they might merge or they might join a bigger system, that's when you need to begin to act. And you can find out what to do very simply by going to our website at www.mergerwatch.org. We have a great deal of information on there about hospitals, about Catholic restrictions, about what other communities have done successfully to save their services. And we are available free of charge to consult with you and your community about the steps you should take to protect your own health care.
That was Lois Utley of Merger Watch. If you'd like more information about Merger Watch, please feel free to go to mergerwatch.org. We'll include a link to that in our blog entry about this podcast. So feel free to come back to Below the Waist and click on the link. If you're interested in contacting the governor of Kentucky, like Derek suggested, you'll also find that on Below the Waist as well. So please feel free to hop back over to that site, and we'll get you that information. I'm your host, Dino Corvino. This is Below the Waist, your biweekly podcast about reproductive health. If you'd like more information, please feel free to email me at podcast@belowthewaist.org, as well as following us on Twitter at twitter.com/belowthewaist.